He says to such a degree that in the trip of Hajj alone, there was taped 55 tapes. 55 tapes of him answering questions. He said, who amongst us is able to do that? Who is able to do that? He said, this is an example of the patience of the Sheikh, the tenacity of the Sheikh, the struggling of the Sheikh. And said, this is something that we must look at and hold with high regard. Also, he said, the spending of the Sheikh, that the Sheikh would spend. And he said, he did not know to what extent the Sheikh would spend, would give sadaqah, and would spend and would help, even though he was amongst his closest companions. He did not know about it until after the death of the Sheikh, rahimahullah. He did not know about it until after the death of the Sheikh, rahimahullah. And this is the case, he said, because the Sheikh kept it hidden. The Sheikh did not allow him to know. So he said, in his example of this, of a woman who was about to lose her house, and she was in need of 7,000 dinar. And they came explaining this to the Sheikh, and the Sheikh went and came back with some money and said, here's 8,000, 7,000 to save her house, and 1,000 for her. And in the musalla that the Sheikh used to pray in, the rugs had become old, and the brothers wanted to get new carpeting, and they needed 500 dinars, so they started to want to get up and gather from everyone. The Sheikh said, how much is it? They told him, and he gave them 500 dinars. And then there's one amongst the Shabab, one man who needed some money. He needed $1,000 loan, and he asked, the Sheikh came with 2,000, said 1,000 is a loan, and the other 1,000 is a gift. So this is how the scholars are, and this is how Sheikh Nasr al-Himalaya was. Gathering between ilm and da'wah, knowledge and da'wah and ibadah, worship. Ilm al-nafi, beneficial knowledge, wa amal al-salih, righteous actions. All of this having been said, there exists on the face of this earth some fools and ignoramuses who have the audacity to say that Sheikh Muhammad Nasruddin al-Albani, rahimahullah, is a murji'ah, or from the murji'ah. He said, even one ignorant one in his country was shouting at the top of his lungs, Sheikh Muhammad Nasruddin al-Albani is from the murji'ah. And he said, what is the murji'ah? He said, I don't know, but he's murji'ah. So this is how ignorant they are, and the vast majority of them are like this. But as he said, the virtuous people know the virtues. When even Sheikh Abu Abdullah Muhammad bin Salih ibn Uthaymeen was asked about those who say that Sheikh al-Albani, rahimahullah, was from the murji'ah or on the madhab or supposed madhab of the murji'ah, he said a piece of poetry which meant that they were blameworthy. Then he said, I don't know except that he is a scholar and a faqih, and I don't know of anything I read from him that has any mistake in the errors of belief, but rather those individuals just want to belittle the Sheikh, because there are those who want to declare people disbelievers, and the Sheikh stands as an obstacle to them, so do not listen to them. He said, it is from the astonishing matters that the Sheikh is in his grave, and his axes are cut off, except that which he left as a beneficial knowledge, but he is getting rewarded, walillahi alhamd, because of the ghiba, the backbiting, the slander that they do, the Sheikh will get his reward for that. It is that Allah Ta'ala want to continue for the Sheikh, even what he has done or left of knowledge, he wants to continue that the Sheikh, rahimullah, gets good deeds by those people running around, backbiting, slandering him. The Sheikh, rahimullah, will get his reward. And he said the statement of Ibn Uthaymeen indicates that only the people of virtue and the people of knowledge recognize others who have virtue and recognize others that have knowledge. He said this is what we will stop at and seal our blessed gathering with, insha'Allah ta'ala.
I heard that Sheikh Al-Albani agreed with the distinction being between Ta'if al-Mansura and the Firq al-Najiyah. Please could you relay whether this is true narration? If so, please comment.
أما بالنسبة لهذا التقسيم فمن الناحية اللغوية نعم وهذا لا ينكره أحد ولكن التقسيم الذي يترتب عليه تفريق اصطلاحي أن هنالك طائفة ناجية أو طائفة منصورة وفرقة ناجية وهذه غير تلك فهذا لا يوافق أو لم يوافق عليه شيخنا رحمه الله مطلقا فتقسيمه إذن أو ارتضاؤه التقسيم اللغوي نعم لأن هذا جزء من هذا والجزء لا يفترق عن الكل إذن التفريق لغوي وليس اصطلاحيا يترتب عليه مناهج فكرية مخالفة أو منحرفة تتشبث بشيء من الحق وتترك كثيرا من الحق.
He answered saying that if you mean by this a distinction in the language, yes, a distinction in the language, that Taif al-Mansur and Fikr al-Najiyah in a language standpoint is different in the sense that one of them is part of one another, they're together, and only in language do they differ in this regard. But he said, as far as what the others have indicated, or some others have indicated, that they're two separate groups with their own ideologies and own methodologies and so on and so forth, this isn't correct, and the Sheikh never agreed to this. But what he agreed to was the language difference in the sense that each of them are part of one another, and at the same time, each has particulars, but you cannot separate them from one another and come with an ideology that takes some of the truth and leaves some of the truth and gives each of them particular qualities. This minhaji separation is something that the Sheikh did not agree to, rahimahullah. There is a da'i in the USA who claims, one, Al-Albani had no ijaz in the fiqh hadith. Two, Sheikh Al-Albani made hadith in Bukhari and Muslim weak. What is your response to this doubt?
كلا هذين القولين وهاتين الشبهتين يدلان على أن القائل هذه الشبهة جاهل بالعلم وجاهل بالشيخ الألباني. أما أنه جاهل بالعلم فإن الإجازة في العصور المتأخرة لا يراد منها إلا البركة وقد نص على ذلك الإمام ابن الصلاح قبل أكثر من 800 سنة. هذا الجهل بالعلم في المسألة الأولى. أما الجهل بالعلم في المسألة الثانية فهو أن عددا من أهل العلم كالدارقطني وأبي مسعود الدمشقي وابن عمار الشهيد بل شيخ الإسلام ابن تيمية والإمام ابن القيم والحافظ ابن حجر قد ضعفوا أحاديث في البخاري ومسلم لكنها حديث معدودة وقليلة جدا. فليس البخاري قرآنا وليس المسلم قرآنا ولكن هما أصح الكتب بعد القرآن و 99% وبعض الأعشار كله صحيح إلا القليل مما انتقده على الفحول وهذا هو دليل جهله العلم في المسألة الثانية. أما جهله بالشيخ ناصر في المسألتين فالمسألة الأولى أن الشيخ الألباني له إجازة الشيخ الألباني له إجازة من الشيخ محمد راغب الطباخ من أكابر محدثي حلب وهي المدينة الثانية في سوريا بعد دمشق فقد رآه والشيخ لم يكن يتجاوز 20 عاما وعرف نبوغه وألمعيته وتخصصه في الحديث هو عرض على الشيخ الألباني أن يعطيه إجازة ولم يطلب الشيخ الألباني منه الإجازة. أما جهله بالمسألة الثانية فيما يتعلق بالشيخ فالشيخ الألباني فيما تكلم فيه من الأحاديث لم يخالف أحدا من هؤلاء العلماء ولم يأتي بما زاده على أحد من هؤلاء العلماء وإنما قال ما قالوا بل أحيانا كان يرد ما قالوا. فهذا الحديث الذي هو مشهور بحديث الولي من عاد لي وليا فقد أذنته بالحرب. يضعفه الحافظ بن رجب وغيره وهو في البخاري. فإذا بشيخنا رحمه الله في السلسلة الصحيحة المجلد السادس المجلد الرابع يورده ويورد له طرقا ويرد على من ضعفه ويصححه. وهذا شيخنا أيضا في المجلد الرابع من سلسلة الحديث الصحيحة يأتي بحديث خلق الله التربة يوم السبت الذي رواه الإمام مسلم، يضعفه الإمام البخاري والإمام ابن معين وغيرهما من أهل العلم. فإذا بالشيخ الألباني يورد الحديث ويرد على من ضعفه ويثبت صحته وطرقه وشواهده. إذن لماذا يكتم أمثال هذا الناقد عن الشيخ أنه دافع وذب عن أحاديث في البخاري ومسلم مكتفيا بالأولى وهي غلط؟ فالشيخ فيما ضعفه من أحاديث البخاري ومسلم إنما سار وراء العلماء، ومع ذلك سار سير العلم والنقد والنظر للتقليد، بدليل أنه خالفهم في أحاديث أخرى صححها هم قد ضعفوها. والله يهدينا وإياه سواء السبيل.
So both of these accusations are evidence of the ignorance of the individual that is speaking. As far as ignorant, he's ignorant two matters: ignorance of the matters of knowledge and ignorance of Sheikh Nasser. As far as ignorance of the matters of knowledge, it is that the Ijaza has stopped hundreds and hundreds of years ago of being anything other than a matter of barakah. And this is something that Ibn Salah mentioned regarding it. And regarding the matter of hadith, he said, Bukhari is not Quran and Sahih Muslim is not Quran, but they are the most authentic books after the Quran. And more than one scholar has found certain hadith that are weak. Very, very small amount, but Dharqutni has done so, Ibn Taymiyyah has done so, Ibn Qayyim al-Jawziyyah, many others. And this should be understood, that there are certain amount, a small amount of hadith that are in fact da'if. This should be known. Regarding his ignorance of Sheikh Nasser, that Sheikh Nasser does have an ijaza, and that is from Muhammad Raghib al-Tabbagh from Halab, one of the great scholars of hadith, the second city in Sham after Damascus, Halab. He gave the Sheikh the ijaza when the Sheikh was 20 years old, when he seen the sharpness and he seen the level of knowledge and the level of willing to learn that the Sheikh had, rahimullah. It was not something that Sheikh Nasser requested, but rather it was he who requested to give him the ijaza. Now regarding the issue of Sheikh Nasser and the ulama of hadith, Sheikh Nasser did not come with anything new in those hadith that he spoke about in Bukhari Muslim. As a matter of fact, he was behind those scholars who had mentioned such matters. Even though at some point it was not, even though he would at times reject what they had said, proving that it was not done through him blind following them, but it was done based upon knowledge. Like the hadith of Wali, which it says, verily he who shows to my friend enmity, I am at war with him. That hadith, Hafiz ibn Rajab, and this hadith is in Bukhari, Hafiz ibn Rajab declared it to be weak. Whereas the Sheikh Nasser in his Silsila Hadith Sahihah volume 4 shows that this hadith rejects what Hafiz ibn Rajab has said regarding this hadith and shows that this hadith is authentic. Similarly, the hadith about Allah Ta'ala creating the Turab on Saturday, which is in the Sahih also, many have claimed that is weak from the Imma, and Sheikh Nasser defended it and said that it was something that was authentic. So why that those who find this issue of trying to say that Sheikh Nasser has made certain ahadith weak, why they don't mention the other side of the coin, and that is that he has shown some ahadith to be authentic that others have claimed, even though they're great scholars, have claimed were weak, and he in fact defended the authenticity of it that in which Bukhari and Muslim regarded it. So he said this should be known about this issue, that the Sheikh Nasser did not come with anything new, but he was rather following those scholars before whom talked about it, keeping in mind that we said he also differed with them on issues, so it was not a blind following, but it was based upon the science of hadith.
هنا سؤال باللغة العربية يقول بلغنا أن الشيخ رحمه الله أوقف جميع كتبه وأعماله العلمية المطبوعة والمخطوطة للجامعة الإسلامية، فما هو مصير هذه الكتب؟ الصواب في هذا أن الشيخ رحمه الله أوقف مكتبته بمطبوعها ومخطوطها، أما مؤلفاته فلم تكن ضمن الوصية، فهي باقية على ما هي عليه، والآن تطبع بإشراف أبنائه وبإشرافنا ولله الحمد، أعني المؤلفات. أما بالنسبة للكتب فبعد أسبوعين من وفاته كانت في الجامعة الإسلامية.
The questioner says it has reached us that Sheikh Nasser left his books and all of his علمي or knowledge based writings, the ones that were printed or published and the ones that are manuscript, to the Jamia Islamia, the Islamic University. What is the situation with these books at this time? The Sheikh said regarding this matter, what he has in fact in his will, what the Sheikh Rahimullah mentioned, was that his books, his maktaba, his personal library, which contained his books and his manuscripts, they were sent to the Islamic University of Medina 2 weeks after his death, Rahimullah. But as rather his works that he was working on and those books that he's authored, then they are to be printed and published under the auspices of the Sheikh as well as the auspices of the family of Sheikh Nasser, Rahimahullah.
آخر سؤال.
من Who are the students living, students of Sheikh Al-Albani?
هذا سؤال لا يحتاج إلى جواب.
This question is
very معروفون.
They're known.
كفى الله المؤمنين القتال.
Allah has spared the Muslims the fight.
صلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. وجزاكم الله خيرا على صبركم وحسن استماعكم.
May Allah reward you for your patience and for your attentive listening.